What's new, Nate?
I just got back from a Henderson family reunion. There was like 100 Hendersons in one place, which is a scary, scary proposition.
It was the Hundosons.
This takes place in Alabama, right?
Yep. Alabama.
And fortunately, you're engaged, so this wasn't like a dating pickup scene for you. You're going to meet your cousins in Alabama.
Wow.
Going hard on too the soon? Alabamans.
Yeah. Was that too soon? I love Alabama, man.
I do too. It's a great state. Lake Gunnersville State Park
is a gorgeous place.
It is one of the most beautiful places.
I don't want to spoil my keep, but there's one thing Alabama does right, and it's state parks.
Yeah. Yeah. I will not let you spoil that either, because we love Alabama State Parks.
Yes, we do. What's new, Travis?
Oh, I'll tell you what's new. Big news.
He's back.
I wasn't ready. Usually I'm mad at you guys because you like wait too long. So I know everybody's probably tired of hearing about the live show, but I hope they're not. I hope they're getting pumped.
Get pumped.
Because tickets are still going at a pretty good clip. We've only got a few left.
Whoa.
So make sure you get your tickets in. Get your tickets. They're free to get in the door, but we have to have a head count like we've talked about before. But get this. This week we got some, I actually got some stuff from ICAST that we're going to be giving away at the show. Like some little odds and ends, but they're very cool things. And friend of the show, official taxidermist of the show, Landon Blankenship, said he's willing to give away a duck mount. Like, so we're gonna give a voucher basically for someone to get a free duck mount, which is a huge, huge gift.
Yeah.
Big time.
Especially
that's coming
him.
Through in the clutch.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a great dude. Like he's done give backs the last 3 years, and he's just such a good guy about it. And he's a fantastic taxidermist. Yeah. But he's also a really good dude, and he's been with us since just about day one, I think. So
he has eaten a breakfast pizza in my kitchen.
There you go. That's how you know when you are beyond friend of the show.
Yeah. He's family of the show.
Family of the show. Landon Blankenship. Another anonymous listener reached out to me and is sending a like high-end package of skin care products we're going to be giving away. So that's pretty cool.
Did we just turn into the Cast and Blast beauty show?
Well, we talked about Jergens
Sunless
tanner or something.
The tanning lotion.
And he and I are having this conversation about it. And he's like, maybe this would be good for the women. And I was, as he was telling me what was in it, it was like sunscreen and stuff like that. I was like, maybe it'd be good for me. Like, I like to look nice.
Self-care is for everyone, Travis. You can indulge.
Anyway. That's cool
that he's bringing some stuff.
I'm kind of blown away by what people are like. I don't want to say they are giving it to us, but like they're. I went through this whole dialogue this week with somebody about the idea of the way we try to run this thing. We try to be very conservation-minded, very about the right things, and have fun. Those are kind of the difference we split, right? We don't get super technical into here's how to shoot more squirrels. We get super technical into conserving squirrels and making fun of squirrels. Like,
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So we don't get into the nonprofit space. If we were in the nonprofit space, you could solicit donations all day long. You know, so we're kind of in that weird void, but people appreciate what we're doing. And I had this conversation. I was like, man, some days I wonder if we should be a nonprofit. And he's like, no, I think you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, because you're behaving the way you should want people to behave. We shouldn't be so dependent. It's not to bash nonprofits. We shouldn't be so dependent on them to play conservation. So it made me feel good. It was good feedback.
No, yeah, that's great. That's great.
What's new with you?
I'd like to mix my what's new as a sort of a game.
Okay.
There's like this meme sweeping the internet right now. It's a campaign slogan game. And so you have to say your last name plus 2020 plus the last text message you sent.
Okay.
And that would be your campaign slogan. And I think it's funny. Like, there's some really funny ones out there. Maybe you guys won't be funny. Maybe it'll all be about like ducks.
Okay, I'm ready.
What's yours?
It would be Thompson 2020. Thanks, brother. But I prefer to say that with like the mustachioed version. Thanks, brother.
What?
YouTube,
how does,
brother.
How does that gravel in your voice translate to a mustache?
Yeah, that's how like a mustache dude would say it.
Is it because crumbs are falling out of your mustache
yeah.
into your throat
it's
while you're talking?
It's just a little more, like a little bit of a twang, but not really. Like you could tell, like this dude's, he's blue collar, but he knows what's up.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, brother.
That's really weird.
Thompson, 2020.
Like a Hulk Hogan.
Thanks, brother. Yes, exactly like Hulk Hogan. What is yours?
Mine,
or should we let Nate
yeah,
go?
Yeah, Nate, you go next.
Mine would be Henderson 2020. I'm not sure either.
That is amazing.
Wow. Unfortunately, I think that one's already used.
Yeah,
by about
like
the 40 candidates
the
in the
2020
field yeah.
election. I'm not sure either.
I'm not yeah. sure either.
That is awesome.
That might would win though.
I feel like it would.
What is yours?
Mine is Thompson 2020. Save me some.
It was in snacks.
It, yeah, it was in reference to a cake.
Wow.
So that felt like it was on brand. Anyways, if you guys play the campaign game with your last text message and your last name, go comment on our latest Instagram post and let us know what your slogan is. It's fun. It's fun to know what your last text message was.
Thanks, brother.
I'm not sure either.
Okay, who knows what last week was?
Oh, I know. It was iCast.
You say that like it was you say that was like his own mini little duck season right in the middle of the summer.
It was. It was great. I'm so glad you got to go like and spend so much time. It was also fun because your truck broke down in the middle of it. And so we had a whole situation. Also, we
let's
have
not
this,
steal my release.
Oh, my bee.
Oh.
Also, we still had the new dog, still had stitches for all of that. So like a fun amalgamation of everything that could be awful at the same time. Anyway, how was it, Trav?
It was great. Every year. This is year 2.
Yeah.
Then we go to iCast. We do an iCast recap episode. And it's one of our most popular episodes. So I figured I'm going to be talking a lot, but I'll take you guys kind of through the show. Since the top question we get now is, can you get me into iCast?
No.
No.
Start
yes.
your own
reach
show.
Out to me and we'll figure out how to make that work.
Let's see. You want us to ask you questions about it?
Sure.
So tell us about a little bit about how it's set up, right? Because they have different events to kick off. Like there's a new product showcase.
Yeah, so Tuesday night is the new product showcase. Mm-hmm. And can I just ramble into that? Is that okay?
Yeah, dude.
So Tuesday night's the new product showcase. If you are media or retail, because the show is set up with the idea that you would go there when you own the archery shop, Nate, I'm sure you went to these shows. You go there and right. they want you to write your order to Hoyt or Matthews or whatever. At this show, they want you to write your order to Strike King or whatever and get
product for your shop
for the year or
okay.
So retail and media can go to the new product showcase and it's basically set up. I think they have like 29 categories. It's almost overwhelming how much stuff is in that room and there's one of everything, but it's a really, I talked about this last year and it's hard for me because I go in there and iCast did a good job. Like they gather everybody up outside and they say, outside the showcase, which is like a roped off area in the show.
Too much detail.
And they they gather everybody up outside and they say, look, there's a lot of small vendors in here, a lot of small manufacturers. Please give their products a look. Give them the once over. Nobody does that. At the end of the day, Shimano, Costa, Yeti, those guys are going to win. It's whatever the sexiest name is. So it's really hard for like our friends at Florida Fishing Products. Mm-hmm. To win best reel.
Did you get to vote?
Yeah, I get to vote.
Okay. Everyone there gets to vote that night.
Right. Everyone in media or retail gets to vote. And, you know, I'll walk around, and I've told you guys this before. I don't really care. Like, nothing against Costa, but I don't care that they came out with a new frame.
Right.
It's a Costa. It's right. Costa sunglasses. Whoopty freaking do. So some of those stuff I don't vote on because I'm just like apathetic about it, but I do vote. I look for the stuff that's innovative. It's hard. Like hooks, all the hooks are in packages on the table. All the fishing line is in boxes on the table. How do you know which one of those is the best? You don't. You're looking at packaging.
Yeah.
It's a marketing contest.
Competition. Yeah.
Who's got the best marketing? So the things that caught my eye in there were, well, I don't want to spoil some other stuff later. So we'll keep going. But that's the new product showcase. Then the next morning at, I think, 9, the show opens to everybody. Displayers. What are they called?
Retailers.
Vendors, retailers, and media. Everybody can get in, and then there's the whole day for 3 days. So, and I think I ended up walking like 12.8 miles.
You walk a lot of those things. Like, if you don't have your walking shoes on, you should not go.
Well, and I'm chasing, I'm hustling for the show and connections and trying to make connections for some of those folks there. So there was a lot of the back and forth versus a systematic
right.
Up and down. That's kind of the layout of the show.
What was the thing that you were most impressed by?
So for me, like I said, for me, it's all about innovation. I want something different. And remember last year, I can't remember what they were called, but there was that coffee cup that like cooked your coffee off a battery.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember, I thought that was freaking really cool.
The greatest thing that's ever been.
But like that wasn't there this year. I don't know how that company's done or anything else, but I thought it was a pretty neat idea. So for me, the company was called Psyonix, and they made this camera, and it looked like the camera at the end of the camcorder era, you know, like maybe the early 2000s before everybody had a phone, how your dad had a little sleek
right.
camcorder. It
right.
looked like that, but it was white and it was like a hardened case.
Mm-hmm.
And it would do color night video.
I saw this on your Insta story on the Cast of Blast Instagram.
Yeah. And so the way it works is almost like an animal's eye. Like it's able to allow more light in than a typical camera can. Now the daytime camera for it's like 720p. It looked like really good video, like a GoPro or something like that. But at night you could almost more safely navigate looking through that camera than you could looking out because it.
Oh, wow.
He showed like pictures of the harbor and you could see like the red green markers all the way out. You could see red and green 300-400 yards away with no light. So he had set up GoPros next to this camera and taken video, like hog hunts, stuff like that, like at night, stuff you could do at night. Dude, it was really, really slick. And so I thought it was going to be $1,200, $1,400. That's really what I thought it was going to be. I think he said it was $399 for the package out the door.
Whoa.
I'm like, that's in the GoPro range.
You know what it reminds me
absolutely.
Of? Because I'm looking at that. Insta story right now. It reminds me of when you flip your iPhone background brightness to the opposite.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? Or like when you're
like the background's black and the words are white. Kinda.
Well, but it's like it like inverts all of the colors. Or like when your Nintendo cartridge would glitch and it would like invert all the colors on the screen.
Like a negative.
Yeah, it almost has that,
but it's still true color, which was strange because I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is almost kind of fake looking.
Mm-hmm.
But like there was a twilight. What was it? A twilight image he took and the earth was still hot.
Huh.
And like everything was kind of a muted tone similarly because it was picking up infrared off the earth too.
That was weird.
It was really neat. Talked to the guy for a long time and I'll put a link to their product in the show notes. I thought it's hard for me to say, does that replace Tacticam or GoPro or one of those guys in the arsenal? But it would be a cool camera if you were into filming stuff to have one of those in your
right.
bag.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you're doing a lot of night stuff. It would be really cool to have. Yeah.
I will tell you this. I had an embarrassing moment at that booth because they had this guy there, and he's like wearing overalls. He's this older dude. And the guy at the booth was like, do you want to get your picture taken with Bill before you leave? And I'm like, I don't know who Bill is. I guess is it Bill? I don't know if that's from Swamp People. I don't want Swamp People, but I don't know who the guy was. But he was like,
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I've never seen that show.
I know he's got like long hair. Yeah. What is that guy's
name? Anyway, they were like,
I saw him at somewhere recently. Oh, at the NWTF show, he was there.
So they're like,
Steel
Bill.
But I know you're talking about.
I don't know his name. I wouldn't know him if he walked up to me. I didn't get a good look at him because he was getting his picture taken. But that was a little embarrassing for me because I don't know who your dude is.
Hmm.
Well, you know, speaking of Bills, though, you got to meet the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Dance.
Yeah, and this I'm going to tattle on myself because I've met him several times. And every time I walk up to him and shake his hand and just say, I just wanted to shake your hand, Mr. Dance, thank you for all you do for the industry or something to that effect. Because it's a little bit like meeting Barry Bonds or somebody, right?
Sure.
And he's a down-to-earth dude. He's a fisherman.
Without the steroids.
Right. But this year, the new product showcase was about, I would say, it was missing a third of the people from last year, like the attendees. I don't know if that's because the fly fishing show, the IFTD pulled out or what, but it was way less crowded. Usually wherever Bill goes, there's a little posse following him. This year, I was getting ready to leave, and he's standing there by himself in the middle of the new product showcase. I'm like, shoot, I'm doing it. So I went and got my picture made because I was like, how often are you going to get to do that? And he's not getting any younger. And
yeah.
Anyway, one of the great fishing icons of our time.
Is that how do
he's probably the guy that did more for the sport of fishing than arguably anybody has in his lifetime.
And in the best way possible, took himself less seriously. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Like his bloopers and stuff. Like he,
yeah, they're so popular. Like people watch him all over the world because they're hilarious. And he just decided to like, look, this is funny. Let's put this out there for people to.
It's like he's
watch.
A serious outdoorsman that doesn't like, take himself too seriously.
Exactly. Like I think those YouTube videos have like millions of views. Like those blooper YouTube videos. Yeah.
What were you gonna ask?
So, what was the most absurd thing that you saw there?
There was a tie.
Okay.
You'll see it in the Instagram stories. I created a, are they called collections on?
He saved an Instagram story.
I saved an Instagram story called iCast 2019. It's in there. One is this swim bait that is, it legit has the MagSafe Apple adapter.
That thing looks cool as heck. I don't understand why this is so absurd.
It's like a 10-inch long swim bait that you charge with a USB cable. And then you throw it out there. In the sample, they had them under a bobber. You throw them out there, and it just hangs for 12 seconds, and then it starts swimming itself around.
That's amazing.
It's not.
How is that not amazing?
Nate, please.
I mean, there's just a lot that can go wrong there, right? First of all, it could break, and it doesn't swim anymore. Now you got a $90 piece
garbage.
Of junk in your hand. Yeah.
Fair.
Also, why not just use live bait? I think the whole point of artificial bait is like you're fooling the fish into thinking it's a lie. Like you're fooling the fish in some way. With that, you're not really even fooling the fish. The fish legit thinks it's a live bait. And it's going to try to eat it. Like there's like, I think these artificial, you know, these pure artificial guys would like just shun that thing because it's too much like live
bait. There's a true or false. There's like an honor in catching something on a top water bait where you work the plug and I'm standing next to you and can't catch it because you work the plug better, right?
Absolutely.
In this case, all you're doing is pitching it out there and then it's doing all the thing.
Yeah.
Amateur hour.
Okay. That's what the old timer said about power poles.
No.
There's honor in throwing out an anchor.
No.
Well, at some point, why don't you just have like a robot drive your boat around and do the fishing for you. You
can
just stay at home.
Tie some sticks together and just put the line on your finger and catch them like that. No, catch them with your hands.
There's a certain level of you versus the chase, right? This is in your wheelhouse, right?
Yes.
Come on, Nate Ranella. Like, tell us about this.
So speaking of Ranella, he likes to talk about the hunt purity scale.
I knew it.
So on the fish purity scale, this is pretty low. Right? I mean, I feel like this is a low thing. Either use live bait or use like an artificial that you actually have to make.
I would
move.
Say this is the lowest because you're not even going out and manually catching your live bait. You're charging your thing and then taking it.
I think you guys would take it too far. I think anything could go far and you could be like, well, then it's not pure to hunt an animal with a weapon.
No, that's not where we're going.
I'm just saying.
This is just a bit excessive.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And it's $90. Like, why would you spend $90 on any
artificial
bait?
You let me know the first
time
you hook a tarpon on that, how that works out.
Yeah. That thing is gone in 3 seconds.
Did because you guys see the guy who hooked a tarpon on the unicorn float?
Yes.
Anyway.
All right. The other one, the tie for most absurd, that one got my dander up. But the one, did you see the spider lure?
Yes.
That one best in show for freshwater lures.
What wants to eat that?
What kind of world? What kind of... Okay.
Nate's fired up.
Here. And that thing looked like bigger than like... I don't know. It looked like the size of a baseball.
Yeah, it was like a banana spider looking thing.
Yeah. In what country do you live in where you have spiders that big that could like... You can throw in the water and the bass is going to be like, oh, I've seen this before. Boom. Like... Get out of that country. That's like Australia.
Yeah, that's like you
right
don't
there.
Need to be wherever that is. If you draw a circle and you have those spiders in that circle, there needs to be no overlap with your habitation of that circle.
Right.
There should be two disparate circles, not concentric. The
And I don't want to reach my hand in my tackle box and get scared when I forget that I have a spider lure in there and I think it's going to bite me in the hand.
What that lure, I told Emily the other day, what's going to end up happening is I'm going to have to pull that lure out of my shoe or my hand because I'm going to kill it repeatedly.
Right.
Like I've just set a trap for myself. When I get that and take it out of the package, it's going to end poorly. I'm going to slip on the bug spray where I spray my deck down. Like it's just going to be
right.
bad. So those were the tie for the most absurd.
Okay. Did y'all hear something about trolling motor wars there?
Did you see all the trolling motors?
Yeah, so like 8,000 people are making trolling motors.
Tell me
now.
What trolling motors you saw, because you didn't go to the show. You were obviously distracted with family reunion stuff too. So like I know you were
right.
closely following it, but what trolling motors did you see? You saw Garmin,
Lowrance, Minn Kota, Motor yep. Guide. I'm going to assume Rodan was there.
So I'm going to stick to Lowrance, Garmin, and Motor Guide for this conversation. All right. I did go by the Rodan booth, and they make one that's like 180 inches long now or something. Like they make a trolling motor for an offshore boat. So however high that
like a cargo barge
that clearance is, it's truly just a GPS anchor. Like they're not pitching shrimp at docks.
Right.
This is what's crazy to me. Lowrance and Garmin, everybody was talking about because they were new, and in my opinion, Garmin won the looks. Like theirs looked really good. It looks solid. It looks stable. That's not to disparage the Lowrance. Like it looked good too, but the Garmin looked, the aesthetics on it was good. And did you guys see the remote? Like I posted a picture of it, but did you see how it worked?
No, I didn't catch it.
Did you see how it worked?
No.
It works like a Wii remote. So if you want to go right,
you point it right.
If you want to go left, you point it left.
Oh, I would be spinning circles out on that water. Like that would not work for me. Because a lot of these GPS remotes, you have it on your chest, like in a lanyard, like around your chest. That thing would, I would like bend over and I'd all of a sudden be going.
Well, you have to hold a button down. So they thought about you turning around and making a turn and stuff. But
yeah. Well, that's good.
It's not salt water compliant. The Garmin controller is not salt water.
Why are we even talking about it? I don't understand.
Well, you got to think about it. They have a lot of bass fishermen.
Oh, yeah. No,
bass
fishing
is still the biggest market nationally and probably internationally. But Garmin, guess which units Garmin works with? Guess which like GPS and depth finder the Garmin trolling motor works with?
Garmin.
Let me guess.
Emily got
Garmin?
That. Guess which one the Lowrance works with?
Lowrance?
Guess which one the Motor Guide works with?
All of the above.
Yeah. Plus, it has features that interact with Simrad and Hummingbird.
Hmm.
Right.
So
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Also, let me ask you guys this. Y'all have both been around trolling motors a lot. What's the first thing that's going to break on any trolling motor? I don't care what it is. What's the first thing that's going to break on a trolling motor?
The string. The pull string.
Yes. The pull string will break.
Yeah, every time.
Motor Guide changed their technology. They went away from the pin technology for all the hinges, and they went to like a car, I guess it's like a car hinge technology. And so there's actually when that motor is locked in the down position, there is a physical latch you can disconnect and lift the motor up when your string breaks, if your string breaks.
Oh, bad A.
So it has the string and the latch.
It's got a plan B.
Genius.
It's built into plan B because they know, like they made a good cord. I'm sure all of them make a good cord and intend for it to last, but at some point in the sun and the salt and the sand and it's going to fail. So I was most impressed with the Motor Guide, and I felt kind of bad because they didn't get any attention because Garmin and Lowrance are new to the show.
Right.
So, do with that what you will. If I was looking for a bass trolling motor, the Motor Guide is what I'd put on the front of my boat. It had way more upside than the other motors I looked at. That was pretty much it. The other thing I didn't mention that I wanted to talk about was the Fire Disc. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
The Fire Disc cooker.
Yes.
Very cool.
This was like the outdoor walk.
Yeah, and it's been out for a little while because we saw it at another show and Em looked at it. But this year what he did, I'm going to try to describe it to you, Nate, but it's hard for me to do without. He made the base, so it's two pieces. So there's two legs here and two legs here, and it slides together. So you can disassemble the base and take it with you. Like, you can throw it behind the seat of your truck. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's super smart.
So wait, for people listening, Travis made a V with one hand and an upside down V with the other. And then he like crisscrossed them.
Yeah, the middle bar of the... And there's a story where I videoed the guy, the owner of the company or the Southeast rep or whatever, showing how it comes apart and reassembles. I just thought those were really cool.
It was smart. So it like disassembles to like three flat-ish pieces that you could very easily store or transport.
Which when you think about it, like it'd be a cool piece for going on a camping trip or... And in that case, if like say you were going to the Everglades, you were going to the backcountry, you could fold that up, stick it in the boat and... then unfold it versus a fish cooker, which is kind of bulky and big and you can't store it.
Right, right.
The other cool thing I wanted to talk about that I saw was there were two more things. Did you see the Instagram story for the thing called the Raptor that was the lure storage wrap?
Oh,
so cool.
What'd you think of that?
That thing was awesome.
So like for listeners, it reminds me of when you were younger and you needed storage in your room, you could go buy like a flat thing that would hang over your door and it would have like plastic pockets in it. You could stick like shoes or whatever in there. That's what this looks like, except for it was tiny and you could, the little pockets were the size of a lure.
Yes.
And you could stick them all in there so they don't get tangled on one another and they like, it just rolls up on itself.
Yeah. And they were like, what, 30? You could fit like
one of them, I think,
into
fit
one.
Like 96 lures in. But he had three sizes, but then you could also get whatever size pockets you wanted.
Custom
so he had
on
some
it.
On the wall that like had planers, like offshore trolling rigs and stuff in them.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So you could make it for, you could really customize it to whatever you want.
I have follow-up questions about this piece. Was it, when it rolled on itself, was the back of it like absorbent?
No, so it was, what's that stuff called? Is it denier or Cordura or something like, it was like the.
Cordura or something,
it was almost like Gore-Tex. I don't know what the term is.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like plasticky plastic.
Well, the inside was the vinyl. The outside was like what you'd have on boots, like hunting boots.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that is. It's like a nylon-y type stuff.
I was just trying to figure out, would you have to rinse and dry your lure before you stored it in there? Because otherwise, there was no way for the moisture to get out of the thing.
Oh, it's not airtight.
Okay.
It's not airtight. Okay. But
when you roll it up on itself, like it.
I agree. There could be some downside to that. But I also asked, is it going to catch? And he said it will catch but not run. Mm. Which he showed me one he had been using for the sales reps at 3 years, and it looked like it had been beat up pretty good. And I think I found two little hook holes in it going over it pretty thoroughly. So I thought it was just a cool idea. Like, I've seen stuff similar to that, but when you think about tackle storage, like, we're always wanting the next thing, and that just seems so much more
right.
When you think about our boat, like a thing like that, you could have 130 lures in something the size of like a pillow and throw it in the back hatch and it's out of the way and don't have to worry about getting hooked or anything else. The other thing I want to touch on, and friend of the show, RC Gilliland, messaged me and was like, dude, I've known about this forever. Did you see that knife sharpener? Did you know about those knife sharpeners, the AccuSharp?
Yeah, I think I have seen those before.
So
actually.
Really quick, what you do is you lay your knife down with the blade facing up. And then you run this over the blade. He said 8 to 10 times on a dull blade will make it razor sharp. And I asked about, I was like, so I'm a Benchmade guy. You know, they're very funny about their blade angle. And he said most knives, I'm going to get this wrong, are between a 19 and a 23. So we made this a 21. So whatever it is, it will end up conforming. He said this sharpener will win. Doesn't use oil. It's like $12 or $15. It's really not an expensive piece of equipment. I was like, man, that's almost better than going with the disposable knives I've been talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
if you had one of those laid on your cleaning station and you got a year out of it for $15, I'm not saying you would only get a year. And it had a finger guard, so you didn't cut your fingers while you were sharpening it. So, and he gave us one. I don't have the rep's name in front of me, but he gave us one to give away at the show. So we'll give one of those away at the live show.
That's awesome.
So that was pretty much everything. Those were the highlights for my cast. It was good to connect with a lot of people. Saw our buddy Bill Cooksey from Fantasy Paradise and the guys from Florida Fishing Products and FWC and Roland Martin Marina. There's too many people to even remember everybody you see, but it's a good time.
Right.
So I hope you guys can come with me next year. We can divide and conquer a little bit.
Yeah, me too. It'll be fun.
So before we go on, we have a couple of, I want to follow up on the spray meeting and talk about the FWC commissioner meetings that are coming up.
Okay.
So I went to the spray meeting Wednesday night of ICAST. Did you see this, Nate? Did you see that story?
I saw the story.
Did you see it, Emily?
I did, yeah. That was the most time I spent with you that day. Was watching your Insta stories.
The homeowners on Lake Tahoe are upset that there has not been enough spraying. And we've now reached the portion of the story wherein the homeowners sit in the audience and raise their hand and say things like, have you thought of Persellacor? Have you thought of Diquat? Have you guys ever heard of 2,4-D? Like, they're asking FWC these questions. They want them to spray more as much as possible. Like, they want gone.
One of the guys there that you got on video said that the homeowners around the lake should be more important stakeholders than other people.
Yeah.
Because they're landowners.
So my final comment was, and I don't know that I should have said this or not, but I got up there and I said, you know, nutrient loading has become kind of the code word we say for unmanaged growth. We don't talk about unmanaged growth anymore. We only talk about nutrient loading. And when you look at Lake Tahoe, they're going to put a bajillion houses around it. They're going to put a bajillion houses around East Lake Tahoe. And I said, look, I get that all stakeholders need to be represented. And I think FWC is doing a good job trying to do that. But they're also charged with the doctrine of public trust. Like, if you go back to your North American conservation model, they have to take care of that resource with the idea of all the stakeholders involved. So, and I said that in a way, I hope I didn't come across rude, but I said that in a way so that the homeowners, if they were listening, and I hope they were, who knows, understand it's not just about them either. Like, as a waterfowler, I want the whole thing open. As a fisherman, I want patches of it so it's easy to fish. As a homeowner, I want it to look like a bathtub. I get all those things, but you got to come up with something in the middle that's best for the ecosystem and best for the stakeholders. So I don't know if they heard that or not, but it was the worst representation I've seen on the side of, A, we didn't have anyone. I don't even like to say on the anti-spraying crowd, because I'm not anti-spraying. I'm for a measured approach. I always have been.
Right.
But this was scary. They have a doctor, Dr. Leary, who I've talked to about coming on and doing an interview with us. He's doing an experiment on three parcels in the lake with mechanical harvest, where we're doing mechanical harvest and they're seeing the efficacy of that harvest and how it lasts, what the return is, that kind of stuff. Homeowners were upset about that. Like, you're still getting the weeds out, but they were mad about that. So I feel like this is a, you know, we went through the whole spray program and the spray meetings and they made some changes to the program. And I've been saying, we've got to be patient. We've got to be patient. We've got to be patient. And now it's like the other side is at a simmering boil to explode over the other way. And I'm like, geez, oh Pete, man, can we catch a break on this? Mm-hmm. So, and when I say we, I mean, can FWC catch a break? Can everybody in this conversation?
You mean you and the two other people who show up to talk about water quality?
Oh my gosh.
That all were at ICAST and no one else came from any of the other nonprofits who are all about.
That was aggressive.
Boom roasted.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk FWC commissioners meeting. I'll get real quick on this. Friend of the show, Kerry Bible, put out a thing on Florida Hunters Network. Did you see that, Nate? Where he's offering, if you come up to Kerry at the show or at the meeting, introduce yourself and stay for 4 hours, he'll enter you in a drawing to win like a cooler. And I thought it was a cool idea to get some people engaged.
Oh, yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah, I did see that.
Kerry's doing the best he can, man. He's like, how do we get more people here? I thought it was a creative idea. I don't know if it'll work or not. I like it, though.
Yeah, no, that's
so
cool.
So, real quick, the consent agenda has the Hunter's Lake thing. I've talked about that a couple times. I don't understand that Hunter's Lake has some canals. As I understand it, they want to make those a restricted hunting area. They've asked FWC to make it a restricted hunting area. That's on the consent agenda. The commissioners are going to vote on it. I want to make the comment, why are we making anything a restricted hunting area? It's either legal to hunt or it's not. But if you go there and you shoot onto someone's property, what did I tell you today? I can't shoot across the road because if I do, I would hit my neighbor's house.
Right.
Right.
That's illegal. But my road is not a restricted hunting area.
If it's a restricted hunting area, can you move through it with like guns and stuff if you're going to a non-restricted hunting area?
Yes.
Yeah, then I don't know why they would be doing that.
Unless it is posted by whoever owns the property.
What? No guns allowed?
Yeah, they could. I guess they could post that if they wanted to.
But it's public property?
No.
A canal is not public property?
In this case, it's not because the neighborhood dug the property.
Mm.
So why don't they post a sign at the canal that says entry for residents only, and if you go in there, you're trespassing?
Yeah.
Why does this have anything to do with hunting?
Okay.
This is my question. Like, why are we pulling hunting into this conversation?
Good question.
It has zero to do with hunting. And if someone goes in there and sits on canal side A and shoots into canal side B and breaks someone's screens, I've said this before, they broke the law. Hernando County Sheriff's Office should pursue that, not FWC.
Right. Isn't there a distance restriction that you have to be
there
from
is not
house,
in Florida.
Like 300 feet?
In other words, in Florida, you could stand. If behind my house was a public lake, you could sit in your boat in the lake and shoot away from my house all day long and be legal. As long as you didn't break any like noise ordinances or anything like that.
Right.
I think that's
right.
A beautiful thing for Florida at the rate we're growing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
However, this is where we're going to get in trouble is with these restricted hunting areas, because at what point does it become unsafe to hunt there? And I think unsafe and hunting don't go together. That's where we're going into. It's a checkers move in a chess match. So I'm going to make comment on that. I mentioned the carry thing. Come up to Carrie, come up to me, come up to, I think he said Chuck Etchenicki will be there, Mike Elf. Come up to one of us, let us know you're there, and he'll enter you in that drawing. Other stuff on the agenda, they're going to make some changes to the blackfin tuna regulations. They're going to do another change to the northeast, good gracious, I've had nothing to drink, Florida shrimp regulations, and they're going to do an overview on the Burmese python situation in the Everglades, which I think is going to be pretty interesting. That's day two.
Mm-hmm.
So,
where is this meeting again?
It's in Stewart at the Hutchinson Island Marriott. Shout out for Marriott, your old employer.
Marriott.
Win.
Marriott. Your Marriott awaits. So, hope to see you guys there. Please come up. Say hello.
When is it?
It is when it's tomorrow and Thursday. So, public comments.
Oh. Okay.
Consent agenda comments will probably be about 9:30 on Wednesday, and public comments will be after 2 on Wednesday. So if you want to comment on anything, you can. If you show up to make comment on anything, please be respectful. Please don't be combative. These guys are trying to do a good job. They're conscientious. They're thoughtful. So please, please be respectful of what they're trying to do. Nate, what is your release?
My release is, did you see the stuff on Florida duck hunters? And stop me if you don't want to talk about it.
No, that's my same release.
Did you see?
Emily released the
is
same
it?
Thing.
Well, let's do a joint release. So some guy posted something about bashing Alex Pomerata and Quackskins and like propping up the FL Outdoor
FL Camo.
Mm-hmm. FL Camo, that's it. First of all, who are you and why would you mess with Alex Pomerata like that? He's our friend. Leave him alone.
Secondly,
it divulged. It was like a 200 comment thread and it finally got closed and it divulged into a lot of not great things. So I'm releasing that whole situation. I think Alex handled it really well and he like posted about it. He was like, he's such a cool guy. Anyway, but I'm just.
Do you want to weigh in on
whole,
it?
Like people
before
being
I do.
Stupid.
Yeah, hold on. I had it written out how I wanted to say it. Oh, here's how I said it. Florida duck hunters drama be up in here way too soon. Oh, crrr. Okay. It is way.
Did you just turn
too,
into Cardi B?
Way too soon for this drama. This is not supposed to be rolling up until like the fever in early September.
Yeah. Usually we get ugly with each other.
Yeah,
like
no, that's
yeah.
true.
Season. And then it's like a shit show. You can have to bleep that out, please. My dad listens. It's that way until March. But like, it's July. Can we all just like sit down? It's too early.
Let me weigh in on that. As I understand it from knowing some stuff behind the scenes, everyone involved in the whole thing is a good guy. Like even that dude who's now doubled down on a non-apology, Keith Carver. As I understand it, he's a good dude who runs a small shop in Sarasota and like, people can call him after hours and he will open the shop up and meet them up there to get whatever they need for their trip. And I just hate this because it's more infighting that didn't have to exist in the hunting community. Like, right. I, you know that I love Alex. He's a great guy. Like, I saw Alex an hour before the video was posted. I was talking to Alex, and I'm like, who goes after him like this? The guy that posted the Brothers Outdoors thing does not own FL Camo. That's owned by a gentleman named Peter Agerty, who's, by all accounts, I don't know him personally, but I've been in the same circles as him. By all accounts, he's a pretty good guy. So it's almost like, why is this even happening? Yeah, it was self-inflicted by one of the parties, but at the same time, like...
I don't know. Paul Moreta came out of it smelling like roses, handled it with such class, and he's a great guy, so...
He is. I'm just saying, I don't like the way it came about,
mm-hmm.
but I think we live in the era of social media, and we like to jump up and down on people at their lowest. And, like, if you make a mistake on social media...
Sorry, I don't think it's making a mistake when you conscientiously decide to bash a company and post a video of it. Like, that's not a, oops, I didn't mean to do that. That's intentional.
I agree with you. Do you think at this point he made a mistake?
He doesn't think he made a mistake. He did a non-apology apology. He said, yeah, I'm not sorry that I did that.
You're right.
So I struggle with that. Yeah. I'm not saying he's a bad person, but I definitely disagree with what he did.
I'm struggling with, this is more of the teamism that we talked about. Like, this is more of the, now it's divided. Yeah. Your team Alex or your team Keith.
Oh, no. And we just need to like team hunting or team Florida or whatever.
What do you like to say? We're great at circling the wagons, but we all shoot toward the middle.
Exactly. That's what this is.
So, you know, that's exactly he could have. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
He could have done a video about anti-hunting. He could have done a video about competitors in other spaces. And instead, he chose to pick on another hunter in the state of Florida. And that's amateur hour. That's amateur hour.
Yeah.
So, good release. I have a different release. My release is my truck. I have no idea what's wrong with it. It's running hot. It's in the shop. Between ICAST and the commissioner meetings, it's like really good time to be down a vehicle. So,
yeah.
Fortunately, my parents are out of town, so I've got my dad's truck. But, geez, oh, Pete. I just want to know what it is. I think it's a water pump or a thermostat, but I'm not mechanically inclined. I know those are things, right? Water pumps and
right.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
They're like that in boats too. That's how you know about them.
I'm gonna do my keep first. Is that cool?
Go.
My keep is in Garden and Gun. Last week, there was an article called "Florida's Hidden Hotspots." I'll put a link to this in the show notes, and it's very cool. It's got like 15 or 20 spots, but we've been to several of them. And the number one on the list is for barbecue. It's Peebles Barbecue in Polk County.
Yo,
in Auburndale, where I am from.
Emily's motherland. So it's a very cool place. What is it? It's only open in the winter, right? Because they don't have air conditioning.
Yeah. It's open from Labor Day to Memorial Day, I think. And they're only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And the ribs are fantastic.
This is great. Solid barbecue. The sides are good. They don't have any air conditioning in place, which is why they're only open.
You don't want to eat there. You get it
in the fall and winter. Yeah. Oh yeah. I honestly, as many times as I've eaten Peebles, I don't think I've ever.
Oh,
eaten
I've eaten inside there many times, like mowing yards and stuff. Growing up, like that was a regular stop on the weekend.
Yeah, but we used to like our families would get together, Peebles. Order Peebles. And go to your house.
The coolest thing about Peebles, and there's a lot of places like this on the list. Robert is here. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Robert is here. It's a little produce shack down on your way to Flamingo. There's an oyster bar on here. Like, there's just some really cool like stuff that you wouldn't know unless you knew. But the coolest thing about Peebles to me, or the funniest thing about Peebles to me, is if you look at the chairs and tables in there, it's like every year when they close down, they do maintenance on this building that has no air conditioner. And so it's like they just take them. They don't even clean them. They just enamel or epoxy over the tables.
Just
put
like
another thing of varnish over them.
Call it clean.
So I think like three or four layers down, there's still like barbecue stains from like 5 years ago. It's just awesome, dude.
Yeah.
It's an awesome place. Check out Peebles.
Speaking of stains.
Shoot.
My keep.
Oh, God.
Is.
I'm out.
This. Okay. Instant. I'm getting this for you for your wedding. It's a Folex Instant Carpet Spot Remover is what it's called. And like one of my best friends.
Why are you getting it for him for his wedding?
Because he's going to spill things.
Okay.
And Catherine is going to get mad. And this will make him, or not mad, but you get irritated at your spouse if you like get a new rug. Here's an example. If you were to get a new rug and then your spouse, say, brought a new dog home that wasn't potty trained, and maybe she peed all over and vomited your brand new rugs, you might be irritated. So anyway,
it's a very
this seems like a pretty specific example.
Well, it just came to me. This spot remover is fantastic. It got yellow dog vomit out of my carpet.
Whose dog vomited?
Your dog.
Uh-huh.
Your dog.
Carry
Travis.
On.
But it's what's really great about it is it's like you don't have to scrub it, right? It's like you just clean up most of the spill and then you saturate the carpet with it and you can just lay a towel on top of it and go to bed and the next morning the stain's magically gone. It's just magic.
Magic.
Magic. Folex. F-O-L-E-X. We'll put a link in the show notes for you.
In the show notes for Folex stain remover. That was a good one. Part of me wonders if it will work on like fishing clothes and stuff.
Maybe. You can try it.
Boom.
Boom.
Who didn't do her keep? Nate's closing us out with his keep.
My keep. Yeah. I teased at it a little earlier, but
this is a good one.
Alabama is a great state, and one of the things they do great is their state parks.
Better than any other state.
Their state parks are amazing. Yes. So we stayed at Lake Gunnersville State Park for our family reunion, and the lodge at the Gunnersville State Park is on top of like a mountain. And you walk out the back of the lodge, and it doesn't even look real. Like, that view over the lake, over
the
hills around you, it just looks fake. It looks like a painting. It's amazing. It's amazing, and it's, like, a very clean and pretty. We stayed at the cabins. They have some cabins down.
Closer to the lake.
Down on the lakefront, yeah. And they're clean.
They were rebuilt after the tornadoes. In whatever year that was,
2010. Well, they were right before we started, weren't they? Were they 2009?
I think it was 2010 when the tornadoes.
Yeah, and they were starting to remodel some of them, kind of update them a little bit, like getting carpet out and putting hardwood floors in and stuff like that. So, so every other year we have a family reunion at this place, at these cabins. And if you ever in Alabama and just want like a day trip or you need a place to stay, check out Lake Gunnersville State Park. Or any of the state parks, like Joe Wheeler State Park's the same way. They got a big lodge and some cabins, and Alabama does
they
state
do.
Parks,
and
right?
Em and I will chime in on this. A lot of folks may not know, we used to work for the Alabama State Park System. So we did a lot of internet, a lot of IT work for them as consultants. And what Nate just said, like at Joe Wheeler, they have old, and I think you've stayed in them, they had old Civilian Conservation Corps cabins built in like the 20s. From the CCC days that are like brick, and they've got air conditioning now and stuff, but they're really cool, like maybe haunted type cabins. But they've also, the system has put a lot of money into some cool stuff. Like at Gunnersville, they have these things called the chalets that are up by the lodge that are like, they're like cabins.
Oh my gosh. They look like something out of Better Homes and Gardens.
But they have
like
the view.
Beautiful.
Well, they have one,
but
they have one
view.
That has a hot tub inside and they called it the Love Shack.
Dang.
But no, it's just, is not something you would expect in a state park system. And knowing those guys, and most of the people we dealt with have retired, but knowing those guys and how hard they work, and the guy that's the superintendent at Gunnersville is a good friend of ours, man, they work their tails off, and those parks show.
They do. Well, they live on the park property when they're superintendent, so they are like always, always working, but they're so proud of what they do. And rightfully so, because it's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. It's something else. So check out the Alabama State Parks. That's a good keep, Nate.
Yeah.
Because that's getting people outside and enjoying some public land.
And there's like trails everywhere.
Yeah, did you see deer?
On
like, there's
thing.
Usually deer everywhere.
Oh, yeah. We almost hit a deer. We almost hit a deer.
Yep. Now, did you see that? Do they still have the emu or whatever they are? They have some emu there that...
Yeah, they have... Three emus, like four donkeys, and three goats that live in this little water treatment fenced-in area right by the cabins. Awesome. And we drive by every time. We're like, I don't really
understand
why they're in there.
There's some kind of logic behind it. Like, the emus graze it. The donkeys protect the emus from coyotes. I forget, but there's like a symbiotic relationship that happens right there in that little enclosure. I'll find out for you. I'll get an answer on that.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that.
Gorgeous area. Good keep.
Maybe we can follow up on that in the next episode.
Maybe.
But until then.
Hey, Mom.